Touch. Tradalakanta. Mati. Pitri. Deva. Vrata. Chandramasa, Loka, Soma, Pa, Punar, Eshyati, Touch Tradaya Granta Mati, Pitri Deva Vrata Puma, Gatva Chandramasam Loka,
Gatva Chandramasam Loka,
Soma Papunar Eshyati,
Soma Papunar Eshyati,
Tachtradaya Grantamati,
Tachtradaya Grantamati,
Pitri Deva Vrata Puma,
Pitri Deva Vrata Puma,
Gatva Chandramasam Loka,
Gatva Chandramasam Loka,
Soma Papunar Eshyati,
Soma Papunar Eshyati,
Tachtradaya Grantamati,
Tachtradaya Grantamati,
Pitri Deva Vrata Puma,
Pitri Deva Vrata Puma,
Gatva Chandramasam Loka,
Gatva Chandramasam Loka,
Soma Papunar Eshyati,
Soma
Tat. To the demigods and forefathers.
To the demigods and forefathers.
Shraddhaya.
Shraddhaya.
With reverence.
With reverence.
Akranta.
Akranta.
Overcome.
Overcome.
Mati.
Mati.
His mind.
His mind.
Pitri.
Pitri.
To the forefathers.
To the forefathers.
Deva.
Deva.
To the demigods.
To the demigods.
Vrata.
Vrata.
His vow.
His vow.
Puma.
Puma.
The person.
A person.
Gatva.
Gatva.
Having gone.
Having gone.
Chandramasa.
Chandramasa.
To the moon.
To the moon.
Loka.
Loka.
Planet.
Planet.
Somapa.
Somapa.
Drinking soma juice.
Drinking soma juice.
Puna.
Puna.
Again.
Again.
Eshyati.
Eshyati.
Will return.
Will return.
Such materialistic persons, attracted by sense gratification and devoted to the forefathers and demigods, can be elevated to the moon, where they drink an extract of the soma plant. They again return to this planet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The moon is considered one of the planets of the heavenly kingdom. One can be promoted to this planet by executing different sacrifices recommended in the Vedic literature, such as pious activities and worshipping the demigods and forefathers with rigidity and vows. But one cannot remain there for a very long time. Life on the moon is said to last 10,000 years, according to the calculation of the demigods. The demigod's time is calculated in such a way that one day, 12 hours, is equal to 6 months on this planet. It is not possible to reach the moon by any material vehicle like a Sputnik. But persons who are attracted by material enjoyment can go to the moon by pious activities. In spite of being promoted to the moon, however, one has to come back to this earth again when the merits of his work and sacrifice are finished. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Tetambhukva Svarga Lokam Vishalam Shine Punye Marcha Lokam Vishanti. Tachtraya krantamati pitrideva vratapama gatva chandrama sam lokam somapa puna eshati. Such materialistic persons, attracted by sex gratification and devoted to the forefathers and demigods, can be elevated to the moon where they drink an extract of the soma plant. They again return to this planet. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutaleshu Bhati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhaskatiyadeshu Tare Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gauravati Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkrap Tridibhya Stagri Vasindhu Vyavacha Tanitana Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So, continuing the description of the Griha Medis, those pious people who want to enjoy life in this material world, by different nice means, pious means. Of course, where they may go by their pious means, that depends on which pious means they undertake. If they worship Chandra, or there are certain types of sacrifices connected with Chandra, then they can be elevated to the moon. They worship Surya, they could be elevated to the sun planet, and so on and so forth. Even if one maintains the standards of a Brahmin for 100 lifetimes without failure, one can become elevated to Brahmaloka. One can even become Lord Brahma. And if one observes Brahmacharya for 100 lifetimes, one can become Lord Brahma. If anyone has any sort of, you know, aspirations in that direction, that's how you could do it. And even, this is actually described by Lord Shiva in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he goes on to say, if you do more than be a Brahmin, like paka Brahmin for 100 lifetimes, if you do even more, Shiva says, you can become me. What does that mean? It means you can become a Shaktyavesh avatar of Lord Shiva, an empowered jiva, but who is functioning in a universe as Lord Shiva. This is possible. This happens. Not often, but it happens, and it can happen if someone really wants that. So here, of course, the verse is saying Chandramasa. One can go to the moon planet. Moon planet is the closest planet to us. So we have some knowledge, to some degree, of the moon planet. From what we hear from Srila Prabhupada and from the Vedic tradition in general, our understanding of the moon planet is extremely incomplete. And our, you know, the way we can see the moon planet through our telescopes, and, you know, what they say they've been there too. Well, we don't know about that, but they say and they took some video, and it looks really desolate and uninviting. But according to what is stated here by Srimad Bhagavatam itself, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates further, the moon planet is one of those destinations that can be achieved by those Grihamedis who really do their Karmakandya activities very nicely. Be it their demigod worship, be it some process of sacrifice, or even some process of austerity. There are different programs available for different types of people in the Vedic literatures for achieving the same goals. So you could go to the moon planet if you do the appropriate program. You can get the mercy of the forefathers, if your forefathers have any mercy. You know, most of our forefathers, I think they would be in desperate need of mercy, being, you know, very, very much materialistic people. But if your forefathers were like these people, you know, the pious Karmakandya types, then you can worship them. And they may well be in a position to help you become elevated to somewhere, or maybe join them, like that. But as far as we're concerned, not just as far as we're concerned, but from what we're told, the moon planet is just this rather useless rock. I mean, useless in terms that we would understand. This useless rock floating about in the middle of space, and you can't even, at least we can't even breathe the air, and it's all, there's no water. So what can you do with that? But as we understand, we're not seeing it for what it is. We haven't got the eyes. Just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita in the 11th chapter, Krishna had to give him special eyes. They're referred to as Divya Chakshush. Chakshush, of course, means eyes. Divya can be translated in different ways, as is the case with practically any Sanskrit word. It has a primary meaning, or even a few primary meanings, and then a number of secondary meanings. The way the word is used, generally, like in Srimad Bhagavatam, and here and there we encounter it, Divya is taken to mean transcendental. Janma karma chame divyam, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 9, that my janma and karma, my appearance and activities, are transcendental. Transcendental. And of course, we understand that this is definitely the case in regard to Lord Krishna. So therefore, the use of the word divyam there to mean transcendental is appropriate. But when Arjuna asked Lord Krishna in the 11th chapter, I want to see that form of yours in which you are manifesting all these different opulences you just described to me in the 10th chapter. Arjuna may not have known it was the 10th chapter, but it's the 10th chapter. You know, you describe all these opulences of yours. Show me how it's like that. Show me how they are manifestations of you. And therefore you've described them as such. So in order for me to see that, please give me Divya Chakshush. So Krishna does, somehow or other. Krishna gives him that special type of vision. And then suddenly, oh, Arjuna can see it. Yes, Arjuna can see it. So he's looking at the universal form and different features of it, he sees. But then, one thing he sees is the demigods are looking at it also. They're not only the demigods, but the celestial demons. Means the big demons like Bali Maharaj and his associates who we read of, who oppose the demigods. So they're also looking at this universal form. So demigods, generally demigods are devotees, and in some cases they're pure devotees, but not all cases. So Divya Chakshush, to mean transcendental eyes, transcendental vision, it's arguable for some demigods who are really devotees, like Lord Brahma. He's really a devotee. Others, like Lord Indra, sometimes he gets a little off track and becomes a little materially implicated. So is it really appropriate for him? Maybe not. Divine or transcendental eyes. And then there are other demigods who are, they're even less devotees than Lord Indra. So the idea that this Divya Chakshush given to Arjuna, that these are transcendental eyes, it may not really be the right understanding of the term. And then the celestial demons, they have transcendental eyes? No. They're not even devotees, they're the opposite. They're anti the Lord. So therefore, these Divya Chakshush given to Arjuna, we understand, they're more like some higher level type of material vision. People like demigods and the big demons, they have that type of material vision. And Divya can also mean some higher material condition. So we, through our telescopes and what was his name, Mr. Armstrong, was it? And company who supposedly went to the moon. So, you know, as far as they saw, as far as we see and what we're shown by them, it's just some rock floating around in outer space. And in terms of what we're able to do, you couldn't really do much. Unless you build a place and just import everything. We were just in Murmansk. It is in the Arctic Circle in Russia. It is our northernmost temple. They grow nothing there. There's a few trees, but they're kind of small. Not that small, but they're like a quarter the size of your normal tree. But there's lots of rocks. You know, if you could do something with rocks, you'd do very well. So they have to import everything from other parts of Russia. They don't grow a single anything. There's not a cow. It's just too much. So if we were to live on the moon, then we would have to do something like that. We would have to create some enclosed atmosphere. Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai. Some enclosed atmosphere, make it exactly like Earth, and then we'd be okay. If you're going to do that, why not just stay on Earth? So, but the Vedic literatures say, and here, it's interesting, Srimad Bhagavatam itself says that through doing all these pious activities for being elevated to heavenly planets, one of the places you may go, if you do nicely, is the moon. So Bhagavatam is clearly confirming the moon is a heavenly planet. And not just your average person in the street can go there. But you have to do very special activities of Karma Kandya to go there. Otherwise you won't. Hare Krishna. Namaste. Yes. So either what we are presented with as images, like photographs, etc., from that place, either they're not photographs of that place, or somehow or other, in that sort of environment, our eyes and instruments which are made on the basis of our eyes are not able to perceive what is actually there. Because here the moon is being described as a heavenly planet and not just some useless rock and etc. So that's either as possible. We should not underestimate the capacity of the materialistic scientists and politicians to cheat. It is indeed very great. So they could easily tell us that, you know, there something exists and we have photos of it and show us that it would be something else. They would be lying to us that it is a photo of whatever it's meant to be. That's one possibility. And another possibility is that our eyes just may not be equipped with the sensory capacity, the visual capacity, to see what's there. Just like a simple example is that in this room, now if we took a television set and plugged it into the electricity and put an aerial on top, you know, the old way of doing things, put an aerial on top in the room and tuned it, we would get a picture, isn't it? That's what we get, that's what we, how we used to do it as children. You put the aerial on top and turn it this way and that, and you get a picture. The thing is, the picture is already present here. But it is not present in a form that our eyes are capable of perceiving it in. You need some device to translate it into a form that our eyes can then perceive, which they do. That's television. That's what it is. But the fact is that the picture is here in the room in one way or another. So, or there's also another classic example which is given about our capacity to hear. There are certain dog whistles, even I've seen it myself. A person blows the dog whistle, you hear nothing. You just hear yourself blowing. You hear your breath. But the dog suddenly is all excited and because the dog hears it. In this case, it's a question of frequency, you know, the actual sort of height or depth of the note. And I think it's high in the case of dogs. They can hear sounds which are like higher, in musical terms, than we can hear. So either is a possibility as an explanation for why we cannot see the moon as being a heavenly planet. But according to the Vedic literatures, it is. You know, Srila Prabhupada, you've probably heard before, on the day in 1969, when the so-called moon landing happened, Srila Prabhupada was in London, and of course it was the big news of the time, all over the world. And there was live broadcast for, I think, the whole day. That was all that was shown on television, the gradual unfolding of the so-called moon landing. So Prabhupada wanted to see it on the television. The devotees hired a TV so Prabhupada could watch. So it was going, it was like a live broadcast, you know, from the moon, apparently. And it was going on the whole day. And it wasn't very dynamic. You know, it took hours for the whole thing to just to get out of the machine and come down and move around. It took hours. So Prabhupada's watching and chanting. And Prabhupada got bored. So he stopped watching and he asked one devotee, Dhananjaya, to massage his head. So Prabhupada's sitting like this. There's the TV. And Dhananjaya's massaging his head. But Dhananjaya was, you know, somewhat interested in the program. So from time to time while he's massaging, he'd look around to see. And, you know, his attention is being drawn. And so his massaging became less effective. And Prabhupada would say, no, something to the effect of, do it more, or stronger. And he'd have to come back and do it with more attention. Which is an interesting point, actually, in transcendental terms anyway, in that if we're inattentive when we chant, then our chanting becomes worse. Of course, we don't know because we're inattentive, so we're not even hearing it. But if, yeah, it's something you can test. Get devotees to listen to you or listen to other devotees and you'll see that when you or others chant inattentively, you're chanting, the quality of your pronunciation and things like that goes down. So inattention takes the energy and everything out of whatever you're meant to be doing. So there was one devotee with Srila Prabhupada. His personal servant was a devotee named Purushottam. And this devotee, American young man, he was really into the moon landing. And he really thought it was real. And he was actually, to the point, he was just enthusiastic about it. So as Prabhupada was having this massage done with his head down, Purushottam was giving a running commentary. Now they're doing this Prabhupada. And now they're doing that Prabhupada. And now! And he was just totally captured by the whole scene. And Prabhupada got tired of it. One other devotee, I think Malati, but anyway, some other devotee, was cooking in the kitchen on an old British gas stove. It was an old flat in central London near Regent Street. So Prabhupada got a little tired of the running commentary. And he told Purushottam, go and take over the cooking from whoever it was in the kitchen. So Purushottam was not very happy to, you know, he couldn't see the television from there, but he went to do it. Oh, and I think it was Marty, but anyway, one of the devotees, other devotees, came into the flat while all this was going on and Prabhupada was sitting, having his head massage. Prabhupada looked up to see the devotee, and in a mischievous way, Prabhupada said, "We are watching television." In other words, watching television is not recommended. So Guru Chotan went into the kitchen to take over the cooking. The other devotee came out. Massage was going on. Suddenly, somehow, that old British gas stove exploded. They're dangerous. The old ones, they're all sort of rickety, and gas escapes, and so on. So this gas stove exploded. Actually, people can die from the explosion. Purushottam did not die, but it was an old stove. No one had cleaned it for some years, and Purushottam got covered in black soot, black dust, and he came staggering in to the room where Prabhupada was, holding the spoon in his hand and covered in black and just sort of dizzy. And Srila Prabhupada remarked to the other devotees, "Ah, Purushottam has just come back from the moon." So Srila Prabhupada did not take it seriously. And you can see from what he says in the purport, he really does not accept that they went to the moon. And we should not underestimate the capacity of the scientists, one, and the politicians, two, to mislead us deliberately. Don't do that. That's a big mistake. But otherwise, the moon is a heavenly planet, and life is going on there. And life is going on in much better terms there than it is here. Prabhupada gives the calculation in the purport. On the moon, people live for 10,000 years of the demigods. And one day of the demigods, well, 12 hours of the demigods, is what? 6 months. 6 months, Prabhupada said. That which is half a day. So, in other words, one day is 1 year. So you can do a little calculation in your mind. 10,000 years of the demigods is so many days of the demigods is so many years of hours. And the standard, you know, whatever the figure may end up being, it's quite a big figure. The standard of enjoyment and living and the facilities and the capacities of the people there are basically proportionately greater than the conditions, facilities and capacities available here. In other words, it's another world. It is very much another world. You know, for many people nowadays, the heavenly planet which is available is California. Yes. California, if you're from some, you know, third world, fourth world country, California is just, it's a heavenly planet. But it's at least it's something we can relate to. I was reading some years ago, an Aboriginal person from Australia, like one of the real ones actually living out in the wild, somehow won a trip to New York. He got taken to New York, and had guided it to him. And someone showed him the Empire State Building, big building. And this man looked at the Empire State Building and, sure, wow, really. And he said, how many sheep can you graze in that? So in another world. But at least we can sort of relate with California. But some standard like the heavenly planets, the moon planet, which is not one of the great heavenly planets. It's not one of the great heavenly planets. Although it's certainly a genuine heavenly planet. Life is just something different from what we have experience of. So when people hear the descriptions of the different heavenly planets in the material world and what you can do there, like here is mentioned on the moon planet, you can drink the drink made from the soma plant. It's called soma rasa. It's a type of intoxicating beverage. Here on this planet, people make intoxicating beverages out of various things, grains, potatoes, and whatnot. In India, you get what? Deshi sharab. Deshi sharab means homemade booze. And it's usually some little shop at the back somewhere with a handwritten sign, Deshi sharab. So anyway, here they make different types of intoxicating beverages. And everybody knows what they're about, and you know, it's all just rather pathetic, actually. But this soma rasa, it's also made from a plant. It's also, and there's some procedure for dealing with it. And people drink it, and it intoxicates them. But in a, you could say, relatively nice way. They don't just become sort of crazy mad people who do all sorts of ridiculous things and dangerous things and eventually end up just getting sick and addicted and ruining their lives and the lives of various others. There are no such side effects to soma rasa. Yes. There are no such side effects. So it's a higher level version of the same type of thing. But no sickness, no hangover, and no stupidity which comes with intoxication as it's available in society here. So that's one thing which is available. And people may hear, people who like intoxication may hear and think, oh, I want to go there and drink the soma rasa. Very good. So they become attracted. And in one way or another, usually through the sacrifices and karmakandiya process, some part of it, they're able to go to those heavenly planets, the moon planet perhaps specifically. Ravan, who stole Sita and was killed by Lord Ram, he wanted to go to the moon planet. That's described in Ramayana. But he didn't want, he knew of the Vedic procedures and rituals and so on. He didn't want to bother taking the time and making the effort. So he was in the process of building a staircase to the moon. However, the point, the final point made here even though the life 10,000 times 365 years by our standards, that's how long they live. 10,000 times 365 of our years. And their enjoyment is proportionately greater. And their life, and the facilities, the technology, the intelligence, the ability to manipulate the material world is proportionately greater than here. So people want to go, but the final point made is after some time, they come back. Not just they come back, they're sent back. Get out. You can't stay here any longer. Because through doing those Vedic performances, it is as if one gets a visa. We all know what a visa is about. You can stay for a certain length of time in the particular place. So on the moon planet, you can stay there a particular time. It may be more than one lifetime, possibly. But it's some specific time, and when that time is up, you cannot stay longer. Of course, you know, here in Finland, maybe when your visa expires, you can just stay on anyway, and they just won't find you. In India, there are many people living there just from somewhere else, and they, you know, just people, the police never find them, although they have no visa. But there, on the moon planet, you must know, the police, they don't make mistakes like that. Yeah. They are really sharp. And if you overstay your time, well, you can't. You just, it's under Yamaraj. And he knows. He has his finger on everybody. So you're sent back. You're sent back to the earth planet to struggle again in material existence as we know it. And who knows where you'll go from there. So therefore, what is the point of achieving the heavenly planets? Better to render devotional service to Krishna and return to the spiritual world, where life is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. That is our real home. That is where we really belong. Life is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge, in the company of Krishna, face to face. This is our aspiration. This should be our aspiration. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, when we go back to the spiritual world, is it so that we are very closely associated with Krishna, or we are serving him in distance?
It depends on the relationship, but usually it's close. Usually it's very close. Yeah. If you're a friend, you must be close. If you're parental, you must be close. Yeah. And Krishna's present in many forms, interacting with the devotees. Yeah. So it's not you're just way off somewhere and you only see Krishna once a year or something like that. It's a personal relationship, a real loving personal relationship. And even if devotees are sent by the Lord on some mission to the material world, to present Krishna consciousness. And so in that sense, in a geographical sense, they are distant. But Krishna is with them and they see Krishna. Even here. Yes. It's not like, where is Krishna? He's gone. Or, you know, I've been taken away from him. Shri Shri Gaur Nitya Ki Jai. question? Yes.
Is the sun the closest planet or the moon? Was it in the Srimad Bhagavatam 8th chapter, one commentary that there's a scriptures that only the sun is the closest planet to?
It may be closer in one sense. The moon, they say, I mean, the scientists say, it's closer.
Yes.
But it's either the moon or the sun, maybe the sun. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki.
Jai.
Very happy to have Maharaj here, so happy that Maharaj.